It's been described as Australia's great lost classic album of black protest music. Vic Sims is the man behind it all, and he joins us here in the 666 studio. And congratulations.
Yeah, I never ever thought that it'd come to this, you know. It's been 36 years or so down the track.
Yeah.
And I got a call out of the blue maybe last week, and they said, this is happening for you. And I thought, well, that's great, because as I said, I just never expected this to go this way.
Did you think, Vic, that everybody had forgotten about it?
I did, because I've never really done anything about it in the time since it was released. Mm. I never really followed up. I've mentioned it here and there in passing, but...
Set the scene for us. We're going back here into the early 70s.
Yeah.
You managed to find yourself in the slammer.
Yes, regrettably. But I mean,
in Bathurst, was it Bathurst?
Yeah, I went to Bathurst. And,
for robbery, wasn't it?
Yes. I got a little crazy, went down this crazy road, and I had heaps of money because I had a career spanning from 11 years of age as an entertainer. And I did it all and saved some dough and... And ran out of money and needed... I was a bad alcoholic at that time and went through the stages. So one thing led to another and ended up in Bathurst Jail. So I thought, well, this is not the end of the world. So I sort of had an inkling to continue musically and try and do something and to while away the hours, so to speak. Mm. So I wrote some verse. And I thought, well, this would be okay if I could... I had a melody in my head, but I couldn't play a guitar. So I used to watch the guys in the yard because the rules changed and people were allowed to grow their sideburns and beards and things as well. They were allowed musical instruments.
Thank you to the Beatles, I suppose, for that. Yeah.
So I had a couple of packets of tobacco to spare. So I bought a guitar on this guy who was going home. He said, you want to buy this guitar? I said, yeah. I said, what do you want? He said, I want two packets of drum tobacco. So I bought it. So I couldn't play. So I watched other guys who had guitars. And I said, now what? I said, I've got this note in my head. Show me where to put the fingers. So it worked out from that. So I'd strum and I'd drive people crazy at night. And I used to sing a little loud and they'd yell out and threaten me and stuff like this. So playing in the yards one day and this group of people were passing by and they said, hey, you know, that's cool. We like that. Next thing I know, I was called over to the governor's office, and he said, "Sims, you're going to
record.
Yeah, you've got to be transferring you to Long Bay Jail." And at that time, you know, you thought maybe a death in the family or something like this, because I lived at La Perouse, which just is around the track from. I thought, you know, what's happening? And he said, "Well, don't panic. Don't go into a panic." He said, "RCA wants you to go down and sign a contractual agreement to do a 10-track album." I said, "Well, really?" I said, that's cool. And
this is based on a couple of people hearing you strumming away.
Yeah. So I went down, so did the legal work and signing stuff like this. And they said, well, we're setting up a mobile studio for you to play at to back you. And I said, well, how long have I got? They said, well, you'll have an hour. I said, well, you know, I've never met these musos and it's going to be a bit hard.
Yeah.
So all these guys turned up on the Saturday. It was freezing cold. And so we had a captive audience already on hand. So we just had no run-through. He said, you sing it the way you sing it, we'll follow you, because we've just been guided by the tapes that were sent in earlier. Mm. So, and I had guys like Jim Kelly and Russell Dunlop and people like this, you know, acclaimed musicians.
Yeah.
So we did it in an hour. No going over it, once,
just
one track,
raw, one
and
hit.
That was it, one go. It was a one-go wonder. And
they were all your own songs?
Yeah.
No covers?
No covers. Yeah. The music, the lyrics were all mine, 100%. Mm. So they did post-production, and they added brass and stuff to it, and I thought, well, you know, this is a pity I never had much more time on it, because I could have made it a little bit better than what it was, I thought. I wasn't overly impressed with it.
Vic, it's described as black protest music. Your songs were, correct me if I'm wrong, you wrote songs from the heart about your experiences at the time and what you were seeing going on around you.
I was very angry because the 70s, 60s leading into the 70s were a hard time for Aboriginal people, but more so I started to become politically aware of what was going on. So I wrote songs about what I seen around me. I wrote a song about called Get Back Into the Shadows, where I went to a pub one night and this guy said, you can't stay here, you know, and... if you want to stay, get back over into the corner there where no one can notice you. So hence, back into the shadows. And I opened up with I walked into this dive one night, the air was thick from smoke, and a flunky said, "Hey, boy, get out." I said, "You must be joking." Mm-hmm. I sat up near the group that played "The Sound Was Loud and Tinny." I was Mama's dark-haired boy, a brown-eyed pickaninny. So, you know, with these type of lyrics, which had pertinence to how I felt at the time. So a little chord here and a little chord there, and I finished up. And I wondered what would ever become of it, because I've never, ever sung them publicly. Up until about 18 months ago, I was commissioned by your colleagues in Sydney on the Away program. Mm. And I said, "Look, I don't sing blackfella music." I said, "I think I've gone beyond the protest type thing." They said, "Well, we'll make you a deal. We'll commission you. We'll pay you to sing this. You get the musicians you want." So I rehashed two tracks off the Loner album called "Stranger in My Country" and "Back into the Shadow." So I picked the musicians I wanted, and got a great result out of it. So we it was an EP. I had a couple of fill-ins there with an Elvis song, "His Latest Flame," and the old classic "Get a Little Dirt on Your Hands," just as fillers. So. Yeah. So the title of it was Live at Studio 255, at your Ultimo Studios. So
the song which has been inducted is actually The Loner.
That's the title of the album.
Of the album.
So I think I included the whole album.
The whole album's gone. Actually, you're right. You're dead right. Tell me about your experience post recording it, because you weren't that happy afterwards, were you?
No, I thought they were having lend to me, the authorities, because I was going from one big house to the opera house. I was performing at the opera house from prison, chauffeur driven, to the opera house to perform. I'd done about 5 concerts in the first week it opened.
Yeah.
And I'd go back to jail. And it was crazy, you know. And I'd sit down there. I'd do my. I had a band.
Did you have prison wardens standing around?
Yeah.
A bit like Johnny Cash.
But I had no cash at the time. You see, it was gratis, and more hope than anything. But it was great. It was a wonderful experience. But the circumstances that were extraordinary. To go from point A to point B, then go back. But after a while, I got sick of it, and I was becoming unpopular. You know, with the rest of the population, because prison was hard.
With the rest of the prison
population. Yeah. And they gave the public the impression that it was easy going. And I thought I was having a lend of or being used to make it look good. Because, we're talking just pre-Bathurst riots. I got out of there about a week before it happened. And they stationed me down at Parramatta to go out to malls and do concerts and things like this.
Yeah.
And one day I said, so they pulled me aside one day, some of the senior elderly hierarchy of the prison system. They said, "Look, no harm will come to you, but take this as you're giving the impression to the outside that everything's rosy in here, yourself it's not." So they were suiting me out and buying me all these fancy shoes and stuff to go and do all this stuff. And so I said, they said, "Well, look, we've been mates a long time. Just say no more. You've had enough."
Mm.
Because it's not all, we're not all being dealt the same hand, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. So I said, "Oh, okay, that's cool."
Was it cool though?
Well,
I mean, you're an entertainer.
I was an entertainer before I went into the joint, you know.
Yeah.
And for many, many years, I was doing entertainment since I was 11 years of age. You know, I played the Tivoli circuits and stuff like this, and I was doing all this stuff. And so I said, okay, but I mean, there might have been somebody there who didn't agree beyond what this guy was telling me, and it might have made it a little hard for me and put me in a position where I had to live with these guys.
So that was.
And if they were discontented, I mean, it rubbed off on me. So I said, "Well, okay, no more. It's cool." So they isolated me and tried to change my mind, and they put me in an isolation yard. They said, "You changed your mind." I said, "No." I said, "No, it's all right for you guys. You can go home every day. I got to live here."
Yeah.
So that was the end of The Loner.
Yeah.
So when I got out, I tried to continue. I hit the grog a little bit more, but I still had this musical inclination within me to do this. So I gained my confidence. I went and did some talent quests. I used a pseudonym of Billy Smith and stuff like this, you know. I won some, but it made me feel good. I was getting back into it. And I come across some of my old colleagues out of the rock and roll, Bandstand Days, Johnny O'Keefe Show and all this. They were doing the Johnny O'Keefe Memorial Show. They said, "You want to join us?" I said, "Yeah, it's cool."
Vic was telling us how, heavied, I suppose, is not the right word, is it, Vic, that you were heavied by some of your fellow inmates to stop performing because people were getting the wrong impression of life in jail?
Requested. Yes.
You requested nicely to stop before.
Diplomatically, you see.
Yeah, so I,
as I said, you know, it's just, you've got to live there and you've got to live by the rules of the population more so than the masters. So I just dropped out of it all completely, you know.
Yeah.
I was put away in isolation to try and get my mind changed. I said, I'm not changing it. You can do what you like. So I spent a little bit more time. I ended up on an island on the Hawkesbury River called... they were clearing it down for... So I'd become part of a labouring gang that went up there to work and clear the island, which was taken over later on by a sports organisation, well, government sports organisation.
So what were you doing now? You said before you had a battle with alcohol again.
Yeah, I hit it again for a while, but, you know, it's cool. I haven't had a drink for about 14 years now.
Great. Yeah.
So I just walked into the pub one day and I said, what are you drinking? I said, I'll have a glass of water and I won't see you again probably, so yeah. I'll catch you all later. I said, I got things to do.
Vic's,
so,
sorry,
yeah, go on.
No, you go on. No,
well,
go
on. I was doing music then, and, you know, even though I was delivering the goods and I was singing okay, I handled me liquor well, but I mean, deep down inside, I knew that when I was half stung, I could never really give it 100% performance. So one thing had to go, so it was the grog. So that was it.
Yeah. Of course, in all this time, your recordings seemed to slip off the face of the planet, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And,
well, and were you angry with the record company, or how was your relationship with the record company?
Well, we went on, after post-release, we went down because they were still handling Australian content, RCA. So I went into Albert Studios, and I did a couple of more tracks of new tracks, what I did, but they never ever released them. And when RCA became Sony BMG, they just did away with all their Australian content sometime before. Even all the masters, it was never released. And I thought it was a couple of... they weren't protest songs. They were good. I thought they had commercial value, and I'd never seen the light of day. And I'd love to know where they went so I could get something done. But the good thing, Ross, is now a lot of the stuff is I've just signed some legal deal with a company out of Melbourne called Omni Records, who do up collector's stuff, and mainly so for all the old RCA artists. So I feel I'm in a pool of a wealth of talented people, such as Porter Wagner and all these guys who are having stuff reissued with a mini booklet of their life history. So all this is coming together, as well as live stuff and the stuff I've recorded beyond The Loner. I mean, I've got DVDs of stuff I've done and live. I did the Woodford Festival a couple of years ago, and I had the Angels backing me, you know?
Really?
Yeah. So
The Angels
were my backing band. Mm. I launched the ABC production of Long Way to the Top. Mm. A Mental as Anything backed me, you know? So I'm working with... I've worked with the boys out of the Old 55 now. I'm working in Melbourne next month at Australia Square, at Federation Square.
With Frankie and Wilbur.
Frankie and Wilbur.
Wow.
And Ross Wilson.
Yep.
And I've got footage of Ross Wilson, and I did I've been working in Melbourne, and one of my drummers, the last drummer I had was Paul Hester.
Oh,
the late, great Paul Hester.
Yeah.
And I've got footage of it, you know? Mm. And I was the last one he ever played for, honestly.
Is that true?
That's true. And I have footage on it, which itself is historically valuable, you know. So I'm redoing all this stuff through this collection, so it'll become an anthology of music and appearance and performance by Vic Sims. So
your life has really turned around, Vic.
Oh, it has turned around.
Yeah.
I'm a happy man, and I'm still working, and I think I'm a good entertainer, you know, and I'm singing well at 63 years of age, and now I'm doing well. To work with these guys is a fest, and to win this thing last night, thank you to all the gang at the Filament Archives.